Hello, and thank you for joining us today at Practice Essentials. Today we're talking with Joseph Gordon and Deanne Johnson from Gordon Assets Management. Joseph is a licensed certified financial planner and certified investment management analyst with over 29 years of professional experience in the financial services industry. He's also a member of leading pension and financial services organizations, including the Financial Planning Association, the American Society of Pension Professionals and Actuaries. Joe also holds the accredited investment fiduciary designation from the Center of Fiduciary Studies. Deanne Johnson, Chief Operating Officer and Managing Director of Client Relations, has over 11 years with the firm and assists Joe on the client services delivery to ensure that every client enjoys the same consistent high-level experience. Thank you for joining us, Joe and Deanne. Tell us today about how to improve your 401k plan experience.
So, Joe, what is so novel about offering participants advice to their 401k plans? Has this not always been the case?
Well, thanks, Deanne. To answer the question specifically, let's look back in history a little bit. A lot of people think mistakenly that 401k investment advice has always been a presumptive given. Yet, if you polled most participants, they would often say that the advice was lousy, that they only saw their broker once a year, and they got little or very little useful information. The fact is, there was really prohibited by law to give specific participant advice until the Pension Protection Act of 2006 was signed by President Bush in August of 2006. Some provisions of that law became effective right away after the effective date of the legislation, but most became effective in 2007, including this provision. So for the first time in the 25-plus history of 401k plans, now participants actually could legally get specific advice on how to allocate their assets. Previously, most participants would ask the plan sponsor, the HR director, one of the doctors in the practice in this case, or anybody in a position of authority. That person would be taking on fiduciary liability if they actually looked at the menu, looked at the participant, and started telling them how to allocate their money. So what was a participant to do? Basically, they had to learn and read and spend a lot of time working at it themselves, or ask a family or friend to help them with it, or simply take pot luck. Over the years, many times, steps were made by firms to give tools and guidelines to people to help them out, but the studies show that the experience with that was mixed at best. Participants tend to invest looking in the rearview mirror, that is, they pick the highest performing funds from yesterday and put their money in it today and then watch it go down. Or they will start with one allocation and forget about it and then wake up to see that some of the funds have changed, the funds are doing different things. And you really need full-time perspective and full-time view to give your plan a good chance at helping you meet your retirement income goals. So moving on to custom participant advice, since it was prohibited, what did this new legislation actually make available? In the old days, most 401k plans worked like this. A core plan menu was established by the HR department, or in this case, a committee, or just the trustees of the plan in a medical practice. Oftentimes, what would happen is the doctors would all want to have their own brokerage account with their local stockbroker friend, and then they would come up with three or four or five funds for the staff participants to choose from. What I want to mention right here as a digression is that technique is not really a smart thing to go down in the law. The reason is there's an IRS regulation that basically says all benefits, rights, and features in a plan must be non-discriminatory. So if you offer a brokerage account to one of the doctors, you have to offer it to the participants. If you do not, you're accepting a lot of liability for having to make whole the participants if one of the doctors has significantly outsized returns prospectively. Of course, it would take a participant learning and finding out about it, getting a plaintiff's lawyer, or filing a complaint with the Department of Labor. So we definitely want to pay attention to the benefit rights features test so that all employees have the same options and there is no discrimination. But back to the core menu. Most core menus generally have 8 to 12 investment choices, sometimes up to 20. Our firm operates under the model that you need a lot of asset classes to have true diversification. But still, once you get the core menu out there, even though for years we have operated with a model of full disclosure and full transparency, we knew that the participants really didn't know what to do with these 20 different investments, all diversified by asset class. The trustees of the plan didn't know what to do either and looked to us for guidance and wanted us to come up with tools for their participants. Under the prior legislation, all we could do was give enough information to inform and educate so that people could make a good educated guess or make an informed decision. We could not give specific advice. But Congress, in its infinite wisdom, when they were having congressional testimony leading up to this tax legislation, admitted that they had screwed up for the first 25 years in 401k plans. They had thought 401k plans always were nothing but a supplemental savings account appended to a large pension that every participant would get when they retire. What they now know is that for most of working America, there is no pension plan. There is simply the 401k plan, their Social Security, and personal savings, and maybe an IRA or two. As a result, what are the advice mechanisms that are now available? Let's start with the first and most basic. We still believe every plan ought to have a core menu, the same 12 to 20 funds, 8 to 12 funds, depending on the facts and circumstances, all diversified by asset class. And there needs to be a process in place, formally documented in a written investment policy statement, whereby someone is monitoring and measuring the performance of these funds on a quarterly basis against their peer group and also against applicable index benchmarks. This is an ideal way to invest for people that know what they're doing, the do-it-yourselfers. But what about everybody else? The next step is to have eligible investment advice arrangements. These are methods sanctioned under the new law whereby you can use a computer model or you can actually use a managed account service or you can even bring in a fiduciary advisor to help participants make informed decisions. Let me comment on each one of these and then I'll get to a safe harbor that was put into legislation as well. The computer advice model is simple. It requires, though, that an employee have access to a computer. You simply go on the website where your plan investments are held and you hit a link to go into a program that pre-populates your current investments and your balances. Then it asks you some risk tolerance questions and some financial questions about your income and your spouse's assets, other personal assets you have. And it basically calculates a gap analysis to your retirement and tells you whether you're on target, off target, and how much you need to save to catch up. You can then go through the risk tolerance part and it will tell you exactly how to allocate your assets from the core menu of investments available in the plan. This model is a great thing for plan fiduciaries because the advice is given by a third party, and most computer advice models are very inexpensive so that the plan sponsor, the doctors, can actually afford to implement it across the board and make it available to everyone at little or no charge. We think this is a great value add, and it gives the participants a great way to customize their own retirement experience at a little or nominal cost. The second one is to look at fiduciary advisor help. This is actually something that the Department of Labor mandated be called this term, fiduciary advisor, in the legislation. It only refers specifically to one thing, giving a participant investment advice. They require that a participant be engaged separately in writing, that the fiduciary advisor accept and acknowledge in writing their responsibility as a fiduciary and being held accountable to the highest standard of the law, and then they have to take into account all outside assets in giving the investment advice. We think this is the Cadillac feature of providing investment advice, and it's ideal for folks that are 50 and over who are worried about and concerned about the timing of when to retire, whether they're on target, whether they have enough assets accumulated, and accomplishing the number one goal of not outliving your money. Our firm provides these services as an overlay on top of the core asset allocation services, and we do this with all kinds of techniques and modeling that certified financial planners everywhere basically use. And we call this our wealth management overlay on top of the asset allocation program. The other types of advice that are available under the law include something that's referred to as a QDIA by an acronym. QDIA is a new term of art in the law and it refers to a qualified default investment alternative. Previously, a lot of trustees, doctors who owned their practices and made these decisions, were concerned if they had a participant simply look them in the eye and say, I refuse to select my investments and you can't make me. And this may be the case if you had a match or you contributed profit sharing, but the employee's perception was since they weren't contributing, they didn't need to sign anything and they didn't want to make any decisions. So this particular default investment alternative was put into law to protect the trustees by giving them a sanctioned safe harbor under the law such that that particular person who refuses to choose, or if there's an account balance for someone who no longer works there but you have to invest it in something, you simply cannot rely in good faith on putting in a money market or stable value or even necessarily a combination of funds. You actually have to put it in a sanctioned default investment alternative. There are annual notice requirements for these particular types of investments, but the general one that most people are using, we're seeing adopted pervasively out through all sizes of companies in the United States this year and last year, is what's called a target date fund. A target date fund simply is an asset allocation fund based on the targeted retirement date of that individual employee. So if that employee knows when they're going to retire, they know exactly what target date fund to go in. It couldn't get more simple than that and efficient to invest. And then the financial institution investing those funds actually has a glide path that they rebalance the portfolio for that employee over their working years, going from a heavier concentration in stocks versus bonds when you're younger to a heavier concentration towards more bonds and less stocks as you approach retirement age. Most target date funds are similar in that they end up somewhere between 40 and 60% of the money is in stocks at age 65, and the rest is in bonds or cash. These are great investments for challenged employees who really do not have the time, nor inclination, or aptitude to make their own investment decisions, yet they want something that will work and that they don't have to worry about. It's all taken care of for them. The trustees, the doctors who own the practices love these particular vehicles because it gives them a default protection that they can put employees in these particular investments if they do not want to invest in the other options in the plan and everything is taken care of. So we think that these are great things, and actually what's happened really with the legislation is that 401k investing's changed from the old days of throwing out a menu and hope employees figure it out on their own to now offering layers of service whereby each particular level should be able to address some degree of employees in your workforce. Those that really want simplicity and efficiency, they should gravitate to the target date fund as a qualified default investment alternative. Those that want a little bit more help, a little bit more involvement in that, can opt for the risk-based models under the computer advice model or alternative managed account service. And I should admit or should disclose that many of the managed account services are elective and do cost additional fees, and that's up to your own particular plan, how you want to price that and make it available to your employees. And then the third level of custom investment advice is the fiduciary advisor legislation, whereby you get personal financial planning, custom one-on-one with a certified financial planner and certified investment management analyst in our firm. And I'm sure other competing services have the same type of approach. In essence, this particular service gives a wealth management overlay on top of the core asset allocation service, and there must be a written engagement under the law with the individual participant and the firm. This provides an extra layer of fiduciary protection for the trustees, so they're happy about that as well. So in closing, the pearl to take away from all of this is that investment advice has finally come to 401k plans effective in 2007. There are three new levels of investment advice that can be offered to a plan, ranging from the most simple, the qualified default investment alternatives, primarily target date funds. The second is computer advice, whereby employees are a little bit more engaged and they enter a custom asset allocation and risk tolerance questionnaire and some financial questions about retirement projections online, and that is provided by a computer advice model. And then the third is the fiduciary advisor legislation, which allows a participant to engage, hopefully, a certified person as a fiduciary and engage them to help them not only with asset allocation, but their overall wealth management and financial planning game plan. And then there always is the core menu for those do-it-yourselfers that think they know better and they want to do their own asset allocation, which we believe in America, that's the way it ought to be. There's something for everybody now, but the masses are finally getting some help. Thank you.
Thank you. And Joe and Deanne, if someone had a question about this topic, how could they contact you?
The easiest ways to contact us are to look us up on the website, and you can Google us under Gordon Asset Management, and you'll see that we'll come up. There is another firm, Gordon Asset Management in New York City, that runs a hedge fund, and we actually work with them, but that's not us. We're in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. And the website address is www.gamria.com. The GAM stands for Gordon Asset Management, and the RIA for Registered Investment Advisor. Or you can call us toll free at 866-216-1920 or direct dial at 919-313-6650. If you go on the website, you can find all of our email addresses and direct contact extensions.
Thank you.
Thank you.